Harem. I look green, but I am still beautiful. That's a weird statement. You might be thinking of the statement in Shir HaShirim, I am black and yet I'm beautiful. Or you might be thinking of the English expression, I'm feeling blue, but I am still beautiful. But the terminology which I have coined, Purim is about I look green, but I am still beautiful, sounds weird. Over the course of this year, it will come to light what I mean by that. Let's begin as follows. Purim speaks to us today, to a people who are in Gullus, to a people who suffer and know Hester Panim. And the idea that Hashem is still with us, his face is simply hidden, but he's here, as Purim teaches us, is deeply meaningful and a deep source of solace and empowers us with the courage to move on amidst our struggles. But you know, there's another aspect to it. Not only does Purim teach us that Hashem is present and loving us, his face is simply hidden, the reciprocal is true as well in terms of us, the Jewish people, vis-a-vis Hashem. That even when it seems that we are on outs with Hashem, we are not committed, we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing, we are derelict, that too is only a facade. Deep down, we are committed. And that ideal as well gives us deep solace. All of us, personally, are flawed creatures. And many of us have the self-awareness to be aware of our flaws, but if we don't, certainly others and the public make us aware very quickly. They don't let us off the hook. Well, what we're going to develop, that Purim teaches us that amidst all the failings, amidst all the flaws, that's really only a facade. The true us always remains committed. We just need to come in touch. Right, kind of grab onto that inner core self, which never deviates. That's a deeply comforting idea. And let me develop that in the context of Purim. The Gemara asks a question. Gemara asks, it's unfair. Was Hashem, in a sense, showing favoritism towards the Jewish people in the story of Purim? After all, we deserve to be destroyed. We had our failings. We attended the party of Ahasuerus. We prostrated ourselves and bowed to the graven image of Nebuchadnezzar. We deserve to be destroyed. So why did Hashem save us at the end? Says the Gemara, well, Haim lo soa ela bifnim. The Jewish people only sinned superficially, on a facial level or superficial level, externally. Deep down, they were always committed to Hashem. They felt a fear of the government. They felt a social pressure to attend royal functions, the suit of Ahasuerus, and to bow to the graven image of Nebuchadnezzar. Deep down, they always remain committed. So to Hashem, Mida Keneged Mida, he was only bluffing with us. It was only on a facial level that he decreed that we be destroyed. Deep down, he was always committed. It was a bluff of sorts to stimulate us to do tshuva. But deep down, we always remain committed to Hashem, and I would suggest that that is the meaning of the tshuva and tainus, when the Jewish people call out to Hashem amidst their tzara and the Megillah, it is not simply a prayer, a protexia. Hashem, please, right? We have this calling card on high called prayer to circumvent divine decrees, even though we deserve to be destroyed. But rather, the prayer, the soulful commitment of Esther's Taneisim brings out that inner core of the Jewish people, which always remained committed. In this context, I think of a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It says in Shir HaShirim, the Jewish people says, as Hashem's long-lost lover, the Jewish people are Hashem's female beloved. But we've parted ways with Hashem. But the Jewish people says, though I've parted ways with Hashem, with my suitor, I never really forgot about him. Ani yeshena v'libier. I might be asleep, but my heart is awake. Think of a person who is falling asleep but can't really fully fall into a deep slumber because they are disturbed. Their heart is concerned about something, something which is overwhelming them, something they're not at peace with, some unfinished business during the day. Well, says the Jewish people, when I parted ways with Hashem and I seem to be falling asleep, taking it easy, my heart is still awake. My heart is still beating, even pounding passionately, yearning, longing for Hashem, and therefore uncomfortable and unable to fall asleep. Even if on the face of it the Jewish people are asleep, my heart is awake. My heart is pounding. The Jewish people are too connected to Hashem to really part ways. Even when we struggle with him, it is not an apathy, a moving on. We're unable to be apathetic towards Hashem. We're too engaged with Hashem. We can have even an antagonism of sorts. We can, as though Chalila, fight with Hashem, right? But we can't move on from him, right? And therefore, Hashem always occupies space in our heart. We are never comfortable when we are at odds with him. Ani yeshena, but the libiyer, the heart remains alive, pounding, uncomfortable with the present state of disconnection. That's exactly the idea which the Gemara is saying about Purim. And now we see very powerfully that the well-known motif, Esther, means hidden. And this is all a yontif about Hashem revealing the hidden. It does not only mean Hashem is revealing his hidden face, Vanochi Hastar Aster Panai, that he was always present, even when he was hiding and seem removed, but it also refers to the Jewish people. We always really remained present, thinking about Hashem, yearning for a better relationship, even internally fighting internally, contorted inside with our present state, right? If we seem disengaged from Hashem, that was only superficially. Haim lo so'al bifnim, as with everything in a relationship, there is a reciprocity. Hashem's face is hidden, but he's still present. So too the Jewish people. When our face is hidden, we are really still present. We never sever our bonds with Hashem, right? That is yet a deeper meaning to the Purim motif of the hidden face, which we are developing based on Chazal. Well, with the knowledge that there is this idea of I am asleep, but my heart remains awake, and how that relates to Purim, there is a line in the Gemara Megillah regarding the Purim story that now literally leaps off the page and pulsates with new meaning. The Gemara says when Ahasuerus and Haman were collaborating against the Jewish people, and they say, you know what, we don't have to even be concerned about the God of the Jews, that the God of the Jews will enact retribution, will knock us off as he's knocked off other oppressors of Israel. Because, you know, the Jewish people are not committed to Hashem. And the words used in their conversation is Yeshanu min ha-mitzvos. The Jewish people are asleep from doing mitzvos. They've gone to sleep. They're disengaged from Hashem, so he's not on their side. Well, what a powerful slip of tongue, you might say, on Haman and Ahasuerus' part, when they describe the dereliction of the Jewish people as a state of falling asleep. Because we know that when the Jewish people fall asleep, Ani yeshena v'li bi'er, I am asleep, but my heart is still awake. The state of so-called sleep of the Jewish people is never slumber, is never the heart falling into a deep slumber. The heart always remains alive, committed to Hashem. So I would suggest in this splendid slip of tongue of Haman and Ahasuerus, when they call out the Jewish people's dereliction, thinking they will be able to be successful against the Jewish people, and they say because they are asleep from doing mitzvahs, the response echoes and reverberates, Ani yeshena v'li bi'er. Whenever we are asleep, seemingly disengaged from Hashem, that is only superficial. The heart remains awake, pounding, uncomfortable with the state of present disengagement, and we are surely going to return That is the power of that statement, though it's not intended on Haman and Achashverosh's part, that Jewish people are asleep of mitzvahs. We can own that statement with a new meaning which they don't consider. We are asleep, but our hearts are not slumbering. Our hearts are pounding passionately, unable to accept, unable to assume complacency in a disengaged relationship to Hashem. With all of this in mind, I would like to explain one final Maimer Chazal. And that is regarding Esther Hamalka. Esther was clearly a beauty. That is why Ahasuerus chose her. Certainly Ahasuerus was not choosing her based on personality or based on other elevated, lofty, romantic traits. You are dealing with a very vain man. And this is very clear in the Megillah. There is no question he's choosing her because, as the Megillah says, she was Tovas Mara. She was beautiful. She was Tovas Mara v'Yafas Tawar. Well, we find a shocking statement in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Esther Yerakrokas Haya. Esther really had a green complexion. However, you know why she appears beautiful in the Megillah? Because Chut Shel Chesed Mashach Alaha. She had a certain charm. And that's why she's described in the Megillah as looking beautiful. As an aside, I'll note there was a famous kids illustration of the Megillah, which portrays an Esther with an ugly green face. And it's hideous to look at it. And I'm actually disturbed by this illustrator. Because here they pick up on the drash about Esther with the green face, but not the pshat that she was beautiful. The drash is saying that despite potential blemishes in appearance, that was not the way she appeared. She exuded beauty. Well, somehow the illustrator was unable to portray that. Right? So it's a hideous face in that illustration with the green Esther face. But be that as it may, how do we understand a drash like this, which takes a pasuk about Esther's beauty and as though diminishes it by introducing the hideous green face? Right? What is the significance of that? Right? What is the deeper meaning? What does it teach me beyond something about Esther's physical appearance? What is the significance of Esther with the green face, but yet she's beautiful? Well, let's appreciate it as follows. Esther represents the Jewish people. She is the messenger of the Jewish people to achieve salvation for the Jewish people. The Jewish people was less than pretty in the story of Purim. And not only vis-a-vis Ahasuerus, vis-a-vis Esther's suitor, but vis-a-vis our divine suitor, as we developed in Shir HaShirim before. We have a hideous green face. But you know what you see from Esther? You see that even when there are seeming blemishes, there's a deeper beauty that somehow shines forth. She is described on a pshat level as beautiful. Ahasuerus saw her as beautiful. She had a certain charm which broke through more powerfully, more vividly than any green complexion blemish. The lesson is that even when there are superficial imperfections, there can be a deeper beauty, a deeper virtue, which breaks through in a more magnificent way. This is deeply visceral imagery when we think about stigmas of appearance, which men and women have, but perhaps women have in even a deeper way, in a culture which creates very unfair expectations of women. Well, I believe all of this visceral imagery regarding appearance is fully attended by the Torah HaKdaisha, right? To make a deep impression on us. That when we have stigmas of imperfection, be they physically, be they spiritually, there's a deeper, virtuous, appealing core of us which shines forth and overcomes any seeming imperfections. And therefore, we can walk around proud with a stride in our step. I am beautiful despite whatever imperfections there are physically and spiritually. That is a powerful imagery of the Jewish people in the story of Purim. My face is green, but I am beautiful. Even when we're imperfect, Baruchnius, that is only a more surface part of me. There's a deeper virtue which is appealing, and it's going to shine forth. And think about this. When you look at another Jew, right? You look at a little kid, a young child, who maybe is not cute, maybe is not appealing, right? He's maybe that ugly little duckling. You think about another Yidala in the same vein, a person who Their personality's unappealing. They're a turnoff. In your faith, in the authentic core of what a Jew is, see if you could get beyond that. See if you could get beyond the green face, the ugly little duckling, to appreciate the beautiful core which is inside. And most of all, regarding yourself, and with your self-awareness, your knowledge of your own imperfections, or the stigmas that of others who definitely point out your imperfections, see if you could get beyond that, beyond the green complexion. See if you can believe in your inner beauty and exude it proudly like Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka here is the embodiment of the Jewish people. When we seem imperfect, that is only superficial. We have a beautiful core of Ruchnius to exude. Let's be proud of that. Afrei Lechem Parim.